Here we are with my congressman from the first congressional district of Massachusetts, Congressman Richie Neal. Richie, when you sit with the members of the Ways and Means Committee, a very powerful committee, what is it that they seem to be most either frightened about or for?
Well, I think that the Ways and Means Committee is a bit unlike other members of Congress in the sense that we have broad responsibility for revenue. And that means that the ways and means of establishing the necessary revenue to administer the government. So our constitutional and historic responsibility has been all tax matters, all tariff matters, the tax portions of Medicare, Social Security, management of the public debt, welfare, and pensions. So I've begun to lay out an agenda that I think we need to tackle, and those items are in front of us. I think my most immediate observation in the caucus that I recently held with the committee members was to point out to them that I thought pandemic relief was the most immediate concern that we faced, and that I was going to suggest even in the lame duck session that there were other issues on pension relief for what are known as the multi-employer pension plans in the Midwest that are going to be in need of some support, but also to point out to them that the challenges that we face are unique, but the Ways and Means Committee, unlike other committees, we're expected to do big things. We are, by historical standards, the committee that financed the Civil War. We date back to the establishment of the Constitution, and it is our responsibility to make sure that we don't create false promises, but instead we wrote most of the Affordable Care Act, and it has been, for me, a traditional lifelong defense of the role that Social Security and Medicare play in our lives. And we also have a responsibility for a small portion of Medicaid on the tax side. So far-reaching responsibilities, but that means the members of the committee act responsibly as well. And we've been very, very lucky. Another issue that I've had some success with is on the retirement front. We have actually move the retirement ball considerably forward, understanding that the guarantee of Social Security coupled with a pension. I'll give you a startling statistic that is astounding. Half the people that get up and go to work every day in America are not in a qualified pension plan. Social Security pays $16,000 a year on average. That means that half the people that receive Social Security receive less than $16,000. So personal savings, Social Security, and a pension plan, for me, those have been, again, very important considerations, and we continue to push forward on them. So the next retirement bill that we put out is going to provide considerable flexibility for people with 401ks, and we're going to raise the minimum distribution age to 75 because people are living longer, they're going to want to work longer, and they're going to be able to hold on to that benefit a bit longer.
And is Social Security in any danger at all? I mean, we've heard
no,
from
it's
some
not.
Republicans.
And yeah. I can tell you this with great, again, satisfaction, that we will always repair Social Security. It's not only wildly popular with the American people, but you can outlive an annuity. You cannot outlive Social Security. The efficiency of Social Security is extraordinary. I always, again, say to people, it guarantees you a floor of retirement benefits. That allows you to build toward the ceiling. And for Social Security, it's the genius of Mr. Roosevelt signing that document in 1935 and Lyndon Johnson in 1965, signing the amendment to the Social Security Act called Medicare. They've been transformative pieces of legislation. They have fundamentally changed the way that senior citizens live in America. And we are looking at a group that is no longer as they were before the New Deal with the highest number of poor people.
Well, isn't it all, I'm asking this with tongue in cheek, but isn't that all socialism? I mean, you know, the Republicans walk around and they yell socialist, socialist, socialist. But when we
they also simultaneously cash those Social Security checks.
They do.
And I think the way to think of Social Security is the following, that in our youth, we all pull the wagon because in our aged years, we might have to sit in the wagon. It is the community experience that Mr. Roosevelt envisioned, and as is the case with Medicare, with Mr. Johnson, when that legislation was signed in Harry Truman's library, remember this, that today, Medicare for senior citizens is a given, and any retreat on the Medicare front would be a terrible miscalculation. So I think that between the two initiatives, they're part of the arc of maybe a handful of great pieces of legislation in American history. And remember this, it's legislation that changes our lives.
Somebody asked me to ask you this question, so I will. There's a federal investigation continuing into the COVID-19 deaths at the Holyoke Soldiers Home. Would you like to see the DOJ investigation continue in a Biden administration?
Well, the U.S. attorney is looking at it, yes. I mean, I don't think that it's a good idea to suggest curtailing the investigation. The Baker administration has authored one report. Attorney General Healey has brought charges in two other instances, at least. And the U.S. attorney for Massachusetts, he has indicated that he continues to pursue the case. So I think we would not want to get in the way of that formal investigation. And recall that, unlike the study that the Baker administration does, the attorney general and the U.S. attorney, they have the ability to compel testimony. That makes for a very different outcome rather than people volunteering or submitting to testimony. So I don't see any chance that the AG or the U.S. attorney are going to diminish their responsibilities.
Hey, Richie Neal, Governor Baker is very popular in Massachusetts, and yet, of course, the Democrats, being, you know, the opposing party, always put somebody up against him. Is that person become a sacrificial lamb at this stage?
Well, Republican governors have been, they've been pretty successful. Recall that Bill Weld, at one time, he received 71% of the vote in Massachusetts against Mark Roosevelt. And in another instance, Charlie Baker, I think last time around, got 68% of the vote. So Republican governors, they tend to be very moderate. They tend not to be embraced by the National Republican Party. And I think that what they do is they craft a series of very independent-sounding positions that has broad appeal in suburbs across Massachusetts. And I think what they've all done is to draft sort of an architecture where they stand up against more of the right-wing forces in the National Republican Party. And the truth is, even though they're 11% of the vote total in Massachusetts, Republican members really don't have any place to go. They have to either vote for the Republican candidate or vote for the Democratic candidate, and I think they're unlikely to do that. So with Baker, it's independent voters. It is a lot of urban Democrats, and again, the base of the Republican Party. So 68% is a pretty powerful number, and not to miss the point that, again, it's the positions that they take, and they're pretty careful as they outline those positions in statewide elections.
Some people have called him a Republicrat. Do you think that's true?
I think there's something to that. Yes, I do. I must tell you that his popularity, even in a place like Springfield, is pretty remarkable. Chicopee as well. And I think that he did very well in Worcester and Boston. And these are places where Joe Biden cleaned up in terms of vote totals. I mean, when you look at the vote totals in those communities like Boston, Pittsfield, Springfield, or Worcester, overwhelmingly, it would be Democratic in the presidential election, but it would be a marginal Republican victory in the gubernatorial race.
Now, I know you're not given to name-calling, Richie Neal. However, do you think Donald Trump is crazy?
I don't know that he's crazy. I think that he's chaotic. I think that he probably never imagined that he was going to be president. I think that he carried that chaotic nature over into the White House. I'm going to offer sort of a universal critique of what I think is wrong with American politics, and that is, I think as we've allowed more and more entertainment to make its way into daily governing, that the public sees entertainment as a value. And I must tell you that our job is to inform the American people with fact-based information, not to entertain them. And I cringe even times when I see Democrats who campaign with Hollywood figures, because I think that the merits of the argument are most important. And I think in the case of Donald Trump, let's never understate the success that he had with what began as a pretty obscure TV show, which made him a household name. The problem is that, again, that outrage carried over to the election, and he governed on a chaotic basis every single day.
Last question. If the phone rings and, you know, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, is on the phone and says, Richie, you've done a superb job as the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. I'd like you to come over to the cabinet. What would you say?
I would say, Mr. President, I appreciate your interest, but there's no job in that cabinet that's more important than being the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee.
Richie Neal, we love having you on, and we hope that you'll keep coming back. I know the likes of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal are calling you all of the time, and we love the fact that you're on with us. So thank you.
Delighted to be with you, Alan. I think you do a terrific job.